we've gotten so in the weeds. What we need to find is good people who are a good fit rather than through the details. Because if it's a good person and it's a good fit and it's something that both parties can build upon, then the flexibility becomes kind of a secondary issue. It doesn't become the primary issue. Oh, I need to work from home from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because I have childcare. It's not about that. It's about empowering the person to do whatever they need to do, you know, to make that happen because it's such a good fit and because it is something that can integrate and propel the company in such a way.
There are opportunities for our work and careers everywhere, if you know where to look. That's easier said than done, especially in our fast-paced and constantly changing world. Marianne Fairmouth is talking to experts, employers, and job seekers to bring you insight and understanding about what's possible. This is Career Can Do, where we're navigating the new work world.
Welcome to the Career Can Do podcast, a top global podcast dedicated to helping you navigate the new work world. My name is Marianne Fairmouth. I'll be your host for this episode. And today I'm just delighted to have a guest on my show that I had the pleasure of hearing speak in Palm Springs. Neeru Bhasin is a SQL award-winning and Emmy-nominated entrepreneur who has worked in advertising and entertainment. He's done so many cool things, and he's worked with Hollywood and music stars like Woody Harrelson and Rod Stewart, but he's discovered some real interesting things that are very, very, I think, important for all of us to know about. And I've also read his book, The Creator Mindset, that I think is a book everyone in these times should take a look at, because post-COVID, everything's changed. And this book has so many good suggestions and ideas and things we can all implement. So after that incredibly long introduction, without further ado, help me welcome Neeru. Neeru's hello, everybody.
Hey, Marianne, thank you for having me. This is great. I'm very excited.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And as I said, I was so impressed when I heard you speak at the NASPD conference in Palm Springs that I wanted to have you on the show, because as a recruiter for so many years, things are so different now in the work world and beyond. I think what you bring out and what you discuss in your book are innovative ideas that all of us can benefit from. So tell me how you got into what you did and what you do and how somebody who's worked with Hollywood stars got into writing books.
Yeah. So I've been an entrepreneur for my whole life, right? I started washing cars at 9 years old, going door to door, $5 a pop in Los Angeles, where I grew up, trying to make businesses happen. And that has snowballed into a career spent in Hollywood for a while and in the music business. And that turned into running a furniture manufacturing plant. And that turned into more and more things. And at every step of the way, I've noticed that the people who do really well, Marianne, are creative. They're always innovative. They always come with life and a spark of hope and joy. And I wanted to be like that. And I wanted to figure out why those actors are creative on a constant basis. Why is that particular business always doing well, coming up with new products and all this stuff? And basically, I found that creativity and innovation are at the core of that human condition to become better, to become more advanced, to get to the next level. And creativity was always at the root of these things. And I decided that I'm going to start writing down a recipe for creativity that everyone can follow, which is in the creator mindset, to become creative no matter what they do.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. And you know, Neeru, there have been so many studies lately about music and about the different things we get from music. And, you know, obviously creativity is at the base of all that, all right? But I agree with you. I think when you have that creative mindset, your potential and your ability to do things is limitless. And I agree with you, okay? I think creativity is at the forefront and it's very important. I think sometimes we neglect that. Sometimes you look at, you know, the other aspects of work that are more maybe analytical as opposed to creativity. And I think problem solving, expansion, growth, it all starts with creativity. And I really like that. And your book talks a lot about that. Now, without giving the farm away here, but tell us a few things in the book that, like the recipe for success and how creativity can help you get there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure thing. I think a lot of people, when they hear creativity, they think, oh, music or film or acting or sculpture or fine art or dance. But creativity in the workplace is not about that. It's about looking at problems that we have in front of us and solving them in a different way. If you notice, the best recruiters on earth are people that could take a candidate, look at the resume and go, you know what? You don't belong as a project manager. You belong as this kind of thing. And boom, all of a sudden they get hired and everything goes really well. Why? It's because we've taken the time to look outside the box. It's more of a evolution than a revolution. This isn't trade in everything that you've ever done that works for you and now adopt some creative mentality and all this stuff. This is an additive on top of what you're doing today to give you that extra spark. One thing I talk about in the book is giving yourself some me time. We need to make time to become creative. It's a myth that you kind of, oh, I shower every Tuesday night and I get an idea. Not about that. It's about making time every day. So I advise people through my keynote speaking and through my consulting to look at their calendars and put in time to become creative. And what ends up happening is if you do it on a regular basis, you will notice that the time that you've allocated out to become creative, it really does work. It really enables you to let your mind wander and come up with creative solutions. Everybody on earth was born creative. It is literally a part of our DNA. It's who we are. And as we get older, we let analytics and all this stuff cloud our vision. Analytics are great, but without creativity, we're never operating in balance. And we need to start to operate on a balanced level in order to achieve greatness.
Oh, I agree so much. And it's interesting. When I interview somebody, I ask a question that I'm sure other recruiters think, this is the craziest question. I say, if you had a magic wand and you could wave that wand and you could be anything you wanted to be, I don't care how outlandish it is, what would it be? Because what that tells me is what they're passionate about. All right. That tells me so much about that candidate. And, you know, my claim to fame, I think, is longevity. I place people that stay a long time, and I think they stay a long time because they're aligned with their passion and interest. And I think the common denominator of that is creativity. Okay. If we only look at every single thing analytically, I think we're missing the boat. All right. And I'm so glad you've written this book because I don't think there's another one like that out there. I mean, I really enjoyed reading that book. It's just has so many good points in it. But, you know, I think it's so interesting that you've had, you yourself, Nir, have had so many different careers. I mean, a furniture manufacturer, as opposed to somebody who's worked in Hollywood with movie stars. I mean, that's kind of a real different, kind of a two different things. How did that all happen? That was this creativity something that you had in your family that you learned as a small child, or your parents encouraged you to try different things? Or how did this all come about?
Yeah, I get bored really easily. So I need constant simulation. And I like to throw myself into situations that I am purposefully uncomfortable. It's another thing that I talk about where I encourage people to put themselves in a situation where they're unfamiliar, right? Go to that conference that you always get the emails and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, I'll go next year. You know, go to the conference. Yes, it's awkward sometimes. You don't know anybody. You're standing there. Put yourself in a situation where something different than the normal day-to-day might occur. And in those moments, you might be creative. So for me, yeah, I get bored really easily. I'm always hopping around. I happen to be like a masterful hirer. Like I've hired thousands of people over my career and they've done incredibly well. And I never hire on the resume, right? I myself never go, you know, when I was working for others, I never would go for a job description that matched any of my background. I would sit down, get the interview, and talk to people in a way that like got them to think, wow, this is cool. Yeah, this is a creative and a different and a thinking outside the box type of hire. Let's go with Nir. And that's how I got into the furniture business. I literally applied for something that I had no business applying for, but I knew that I could do because I bought a different and a more innovative way to look at it. That's how I got into advertising too. I was writing scripts in Hollywood and I had a friend at an agency. He said, come in one day and let's see kind of what happened. And, you know, it was horrible and it didn't work. But then he knew that I might be good for something else. And I told him, yes, I'll apply. And I applied. And all of a sudden, I ran agencies for 8 years. And that's kind of how that happened. It's all about our comfort zone. And occasionally, Marianne, I think we got to get outside of our comfort zone in order to realize great success.
I agree. I think if you stay in your comfort zone, you're limiting yourself, okay? It's safe, it's secure, but you're limiting yourself. Because once you get out of that comfort zone, and even if you get out of that comfort zone and fail, you're going to learn something, all right? You're going to learn. So I am exactly with you. And I think it's important, yes, for the candidates to be creative. But on the other side of the fence, these days, Nir, what's really important now are for these employers to be creative, for these employers to look outside the box, right? Because right now we have an unprecedented talent shortage. When you have a talent shortage, all right, you have to not look for every single box checked. You need to look for things in that person that might not be on that resume, like you said. They're going to help your company grow and expand. And maybe ask questions that pre-COVID you didn't ask. But I think you said something so, so valuable a little while ago when you said, not just look at the resume. Because what I find and what I do, I've been doing this a long time, is that so many of the hiring managers, all right, won't see someone unless they feel that every single box is checked. And I think the hiring managers could really miss somebody great by having that kind of mentality. Do you agree with me?
100%. And there's one great untapped pool of talent that hiring managers and people in HR should be well aware of, and that is the U.S. military. We have some of the best people on God's green earth coming out of the military with a resume that has something completely not to do with what you're doing. But they have incredible discipline. They just need a chance. And I have been fortunate in my career, and I don't know if you have, Marianne, like helped people kind of adjust more to a civilian life, but some of the best people I've ever hired in my career have been U.S. military background.
Okay, ditto. I agree with you. And when I see a resume where someone has been in the military, I am so excited and I make a big deal about it when I do my presentation. Because like you said, those people have a sense of discipline. Those people know about structure. Those people know about respect. There's so much they learn in the military that they can bring in to the workforce. So I agree with you, all right? And I think sometimes employers are hesitant, and they shouldn't be, because they're getting a diamond in the rough. They're getting someone that's bringing a skill set to them that's so valuable. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that area is important. Also, I think sometimes, especially during COVID, when we see a resume that maybe the tenure isn't like it was a long time ago, maybe they don't have 10 years on one job or 9 years on another or 6 years. Maybe they've had a few, you know, jobs in the last 4 or 5 years. But I think in some way, sometimes it's because of COVID, but also sometimes it's because they are creative and they haven't found the right job and right. They haven't found the right boss. You know, right now, Nir, it's not just about here's a great candidate, here's a great boss. It's like, we got to put them together. We got to be not only look for skill set compatibility, but people compatibility. All right. As I said, I'm proud of this. All right. I'm really proud that one of my claim to fame is longevity. My placements last, but I think they last because we are aligning the people with their interests, their passions, and also the right culture fit. There's all this talk right now about remote, hybrid, working from home. You know, a lot of the clients I work with don't want to do that. They want them in the office. So I think in some ways we got to give on both sides, right? Maybe the clients, the hiring people have to be a little more flexible. Maybe the candidates have to be a little more flexible, because I think at the end of the day, you can learn being in an office with people. But at the same time, maybe occasionally at home isn't so bad either.
Yeah, I think it comes from a position. I've literally hired more than 1,000 people in my career. And McGraw-Hill, when I published the book, made me count. And so I went into my filing cabinet and I was like, really? How do you count how many people you hired? They're like, you can't print anything that ain't true. Like, you can't do it. So I said, okay, cool. So I'm going through and I literally went and calculated it. And what I think is going on is one of my favorite things to do. I love seeing people that you've picked and you've found thrive in a role that gives them so much joy and purpose. And I think what we've done is we've gotten a little bit sort of in the weeds of whether it's a hybrid or whether it's a, you know, work from home or whether the candidate has to travel or whether we've gotten so in the weeds. What we need to find is good people who are a good fit rather than through the detail. Because if it's a good person and it's a good fit and it's something that both parties can build upon, then the flexibility becomes kind of a secondary issue. It doesn't become the primary issue. Oh, I need to work from home from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because I have childcare. It's not about that. It's about empowering the person to do whatever they need to do, you know, to make that happen because it's such a good fit and because it is something that can integrate and propel the company in such a way. That kind of thinking takes creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Any analytical view is, well, you know, we got to dig down into the specifics and make sure that this person's available for that Monday group meeting, which is in person at the office every Monday, and, you know, this and that and the other thing. I think both sides have to give a little bit. The employer has to say, you know what, cool, let's have that meeting online. It is what it is. It's changing time. And if that means acquiring better talent that's going to get the company where it needs to go, we need to do that. And the employee needs to say, okay, cool, I got to come in like 2 days a week or whatever it is to make it happen. I think when both sides kind of come together, we have an incredible workforce.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think too, you know, I tell these candidates when they come into me, when you interview, all right, and you don't have every single thing that they're looking for on this job description, you need to be honest and true, but you need to present it like this. Mr. Employer, I don't have this or that, but let me tell you what I do have. I know people who know people, all right? So I can tap into those resources and bring those to you. But also, I'm the kind of person that if I don't know it, I'm going to do everything I can to learn it. And I'm going to take it upon myself to learn this important aspect of this job and bring it to you. I think as long as they're honest and true, but they come across with that attitude that they're going to do whatever it takes, I think you got a good person here.
100%. And that takes some creativity, right? If you're looking for a perfect candidate, Marianne, it doesn't exist. And I've hired, again, a lot of people. It does not exist. There is nobody on paper who will ever fulfill every single checkbox that you have ever. Don't hire anybody. Fold up the business. You're done. Instead of doing that, you got to get a little bit more creative and talk to the person and figure out how they might fit. And as a candidate, you got to tell people what's going on. You got to tell them the truth. It's like the latest thing is gaps in employment history, right? There's a 2-year gap. Everyone freaks out. Oh, what were they doing for 2 years? They don't know the market anymore. And, you know, it's like, yeah, dude, they had a kid, right? They had to take care of a sick parent. What are you doing? How are you possibly disqualifying this person? Because they took a 2-year gap. You don't know anything about what they took in their 2-year gap. And more likely, the research has shown, believe it or not, that people who do have those gaps end up being better when they do come back and join the workforce, because what they've done in that time off is recalibrate, refocus on other things. And time off shows that it is a factor of improvement at work, believe it or not.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, it's funny you're mentioning all this because I'm thinking about having a travel company on this show, because I think, you know, taking trips, whether it's spring break or in the summer or with your family, I think when you go and you take these travel trips and you go on these excursions or whatever, you come back, you're refreshed, you're a better person, you have more to give, as opposed to those people that walk nonstop, right? Oh, I can't take time off, I got to work. I think when you take those trips, as you mentioned, you come back a better version of who you are with more to give. So I think, you know, if you got those 2 weeks vacation, go take a trip. Sometimes
feeling
it's so important.
Yeah, there's people who accumulate all this paid time off and they don't use it. And the whole point is to use it to disconnect. And they're like, well, I don't want to come back. You know, I'm going to have 1,000 emails. Yeah, you might. But it'll be even worse if you just stay and knock out those emails because you're a robot, you know, kind of executing. And you've given up on all creative and innovative impetus. It's just a routine sort of thing. And you find that people are happier when they do take paid time off, when they do take vacation time, and when they do step away from the day-to-day grind. And you have to give yourself permission to do so. And in that permission to do so, you will be more creative and more innovative when you come back. You'll have a different perspective.
I think, too, that another thing that I recommend people do is network, joining networking groups. because I think when you join these networking groups, you're meeting all kinds of people, you're learning new things, and you can bring those into your workplace too. I think those new ideas. You know, you also, you talk about, you know, you've worked with Hollywood movie stars like Woody Harrelson and Rod Stewart, and you say that these people aren't that different, all that different. Tell me a little bit about what you mean by that. I mean, I would think Rod Stewart and Woody Harrelson are really different, but what have you found that makes them not so different?
Well, it's that they have a process, right? They have a process of creativity. You think, I worked for a long time in the music business, and you think, I worked on hip hop albums. I don't know how that happened.
On what album? I didn't hear you.
Hip-hop. Rap.
Hip-hop. Okay, rap.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? And I would sit in the studio with some very famous people I can't name, you know, to protect the innocent here. And you would think, oh, you know, it's a party and they're, you know, you think it's like a music video, right? It's nothing like that. Nothing like that. It is start at 9 a.m., end at 5. People have to get home, the kids and stuff like that. And you think, oh, their reputation is, you know, this tough gangster guy and blah, blah, blah. And the guy's picking up milk on his way home because they ran out and, you know, they can't get the kids to school in the morning, you know, without them having their cereal and they need their morning routine. And it's true to some degree. Some people in the music business party all night and some people, you know, do the drugs and all that stuff to get creative. But they're the outliers. They're not the superstars. The superstars all have jobs. They treat their job just like you and I. And they have a routine and a process and a repeatable sense of creativity, a repeatable sense of innovation in their own approach to work. And they're all professional and they stay within those types of bounds. It is a great myth to think that if you don't have sort of a border around your ideas, that you're, hey, you're free to roam. But no, creativity is really about kind of encapsulating a certain realm of what you want to do, whether it's making a record or whether it's getting to the next job as a project manager, right? To the next sort of ring of a promotion. It's all about getting really good within that sandbox and occasionally lobbing over ideas that are outside the box to get to where you want to go. So those people that I've worked with, hundreds of actors and famous musicians, have a repeatable and sort of a like a repeatable process to become creative. Mm-hmm. They're just like you and me. We show mm-hmm. up, we go to work, we do our thing, mm-hmm. we go home, we take time off. They do exactly the same thing.
You know, you're so inspiring. And I wanted to have you on the show because when I heard you speak in Palm Springs, your speech was just so, so amazing. If some of these employers want to get a hold of you and have you speak to their groups, how do they get a hold of you? And certainly, how do they order your book?
I'd be happy to speak with your audience. That sounds really wonderful. My name is Nir Bashan. There's 3 Nir Bashans in the entire world. So you'll do okay if you just Google Nir, NIRBASHAN. That's my website too, nirbashan.com. The book is called The Creator Mindset. It's available everywhere fine books are sold, at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it was just nominated a top 100 nonfiction book of all time, which is super exciting. It is like number 86 on the list. Right?
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so exciting.
It's well, in the top 100.
Yeah, you are amazing. And I am so grateful that you took the time to be on Career Can Do. And, you know, Nir, I always like to leave our listeners with 2 salient points at the end that they can take with them from this podcast. If we had to do that, what would you say those salient points would be for this show?
Yes, ma'am. So I think one is that anybody can be creative. You just have to allow yourself the space to do it. And we don't. And we need to do it more often. Anybody can be creative. It just takes a little bit of effort. And it's something that you can do every single day. And I think the second point that is really, really important is that we need to balance the creativity with the analytics. Don't just throw away analytics. I speak to financial groups all the time who love Excel. They're on Excel all day. And it's great. It's a tool. But we've traded too much analytics for not enough creativity. And so I would ask your audience to help balance those 2 things out to become a more whole and complete human being.
Oh, I think those are wonderful points. And Nir, it has just been such a pleasure. And I feel so honored to have you on Career Can Do. And we certainly will keep in touch. We'll see you all next time. Thank you so much. All this information will also be on my website, Paramount.com and download us. We come out twice a month. Career Can Do. We always have exciting people, and we're so fortunate today to have Nir on our show. So thank you all so much, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye bye.
We thank you for tuning in to our Career Can Do podcast. We make no guarantees on results for your particular quest, but we hope you enjoy the information presented.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely that of the guest or speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Marianne Fairmouth and Fairmouth & Company.
Thank you.